Jeremiah and chapter 9. And verse 23 of Jeremiah and chapter 9. If you turn there, please, in your Bibles. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I've entitled our message this morning, Glory in This. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts. And I pray that needs will be met, lives will be changed. And Lord, maybe there's someone in our service not saved. I pray they'll be saved today. But we give you this time as we open your word together. We want to hear from you. Meet with us now and guide us. May we each open our hearts, Lord, push aside any distractions of this life. Come expecting to hear from heaven. And we know that you'll meet that, Lord. We give it to you now. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. There's a lot of things that man glories in. And God has listed some of them for us here in this passage. But there's only one thing God wants us to glory in. And that's, do we know Him? And do we understand Him? Do we trust Him? Because only God is worthy of glory. Man is not worthy of any glory. We're sinners, deserve to go to hell. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, that's where we'd go. But we tend to be very proud creatures. It all started with the devil, and he passed that on to us. And pride is a serious issue in our lives, let's face it. And God here is telling us that there's no room for pride. He says in verse 23, the first thing we're not to glory in is wisdom. Well, you know, according to God's word, man doesn't have any. That true wisdom only comes from one source, and that's the Lord. The Bible, if you would go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, the more wise that we claim to be, the less wisdom we have. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, that's a good description of today, isn't it? I mean, we really, as a race, as human beings, we really think we've got it figured out now. And man is further from God than he's been in a long time because he thinks he's just so smart. And we've become fools as humans. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 1 also, over to the right from Romans, just one book. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You're not going to wisdom somebody into heaven, by the way. You're not going to win an argument and convince them to get saved. It's not about a debate. It's about sin and the truth. And that, like he says, it's the foolishness of preaching that saves people. It's not wisdom. And man's wisdom, look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 3 this time. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So man has no place to glory in wisdom, in his wisdom, because we don't have any. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We might think we know the way, but we don't. Because we're foolish. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have any wisdom. And any wisdom that we do have, we've gleaned from Him through His Word. And so we can't glory in wisdom. We have no place to. And if we try, we're foolish. That's what God tells us here in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Now he goes on to say, down in verse 23, he says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Of Jeremiah 9. So God says, I don't want you glorying in your wisdom, and I don't want you glorying in your might. Well, what might do we have, really, in comparison to the Creator of the universe? Even in comparison to the devil, the god of this world, we're pretty puny when you start looking at it like that. But man tends to think sometimes that he's got it figured out, he's pretty strong, he can handle it. You know, I got this, I'm tough. And that's going to lead a lot of people to hell, thinking that they can take care of it on their own. Oh, I can get myself to heaven. I don't need God's help. I'll just be a good person. That's firstly impossible, because we aren't good people. The Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But the harder we try to be a good person, the further we get from God, because it all starts with repentance, acknowledging that I'm not a good person, I'm a sinner, and that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay for my sins. So we have no place to glory in our might. And God hates this kind of pride, by the way. A good example is from the life of Nebuchadnezzar, one of the greatest kings that ever lived, humanly speaking. And God gave him pretty much reign over almost the whole world when he took Judah captive, you know, and Daniel and the other three and all of them became part of his kingdom. But it was when he looked around there in Daniel and he said, look what I've done. And right when he said that, God sent him out to live like an animal and eat grass and grow long hair long enough until he learned a lesson. And after that, he came back and said, God is great. God is good. Look what God gave to me. It was no more. Look what I did. But he was glorying in his might. He said, look at this great kingdom that I built. Well, we have no place to glory in our might. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 4 this time. And again, the Corinthian people, as we were talking about Wednesday night, they had some serious issues. And one of the issues was pride. And notice 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What's God saying there? Well, if you're strong, praise God for it. He's the one that made that possible. If you're a great singer, praise God for it. He's the one that gave you that gift. And we could go on, but it all came from Him. So we have no place to glory in our might. And we have no place to glory in our wisdom. Because we don't have any outside of the Lord. But then he finishes that verse back in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, by saying, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. The three things that man's going to try to bypass God's way to get to heaven: wisdom, might, and riches. He's either think he's going to get there because he's so smart, he's got it figured out, or he thinks he's going to get there because he's going to be tough and earn it. Or, let's face it, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money. They're not interested in the things of God because they can buy whatever they want. and they're going to go to hell. Jesus himself said it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Why is that? Because rich men tend to trust in their riches. But God told us that all riches come from him. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 11:4, he says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath." When we stand before God on judgment day, we're not going to have our money with us or anything that we bought with our money. We're going to be standing there before God and it's just us and God. None of that stuff came with us. It's not going to profit us on that day. And so we have to be so careful. Look, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy." He even warns the rich there, be careful. Don't trust in the riches. Don't lean on them. So God says you can't glory in the wisdom, you can't glory in the might, you can't glory in the riches. Back in our passage, what does he say? Jeremiah 9:24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this." Why is God making this so important? Because only God is worthy of glory. That's why. I mentioned Nebuchadnezzar as a good example. There was also in the New Testament Herod. In Acts chapter 12, remember what happened to him? He was in that stadium and things were going well and all the people shouted, "Look at Herod, he's great, he's a god." And Herod just was reveling in all of this praise, and the Bible says he died instantly and was eaten of worms. He took on glory that wasn't his. God, if you go to Isaiah 42, verse 8, God makes it very clear that he is not going to share his glory with anyone. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of selfish. It's not selfish because this is God, and only God is worthy of the glory. Notice Isaiah 42, 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." There it is. God says one of the things he's not going to share is his glory. So to glory in anything is a sin. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:29, "No flesh should glory in his presence." We have no place to glory. Paul had the right attitude in Galatians 6. He said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul could speak multiple languages. He was quite intelligent. He had a very good pedigree when it came to his Jewish upbringing. He had a lot of things from a human standpoint that he could have gloried in, and he said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." So we have no place to glory, and God says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this," Jeremiah 9:24, "that he understandeth and knoweth me." Well, there it is. That he understandeth and knoweth me. So do we understand what God wants of us? And where do we find that? We find that in the book that's sitting on your lap. Do we understand? What does God want of me? Do I understand God? And God's who God is? Do I understand what God wants of me? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Love thy neighbor as thyself. When you stand praying, forgive. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We could go on, couldn't we? Do we understand what God wants of us? God says, now that's something you can get excited about. That you understand His ways. That you understand who He is. The Bible says in Psalm 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. All of God's ways are right. And if you would, look at Matthew 11. Jesus made a similar statement here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. But He says, learn of me. Jesus said, I want you to learn of me. Don't learn of man's ways. Don't learn of your inner self or whatever. Learn of Him. Now that's something He says you can glory in, is that you are understanding God more. Which, of course, God gets all the glory for that anyway. But that you understand Him and His ways, which is only found in His Word. But then He goes on to say, and knoweth me. Now, there's a lot of people out there that think they understand God, but they don't know God. And that's really quite scary when you think about it. Because if we don't know God, then we're going to hell. And you can read the Bible and go to hell. You can try to keep all the Ten Commandments and go to hell. You have to know God. Look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus makes this so clear. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Now, we'll never know God 100% until we get to heaven. Because we're just not capable of it, the Bible says. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. We can't even conceive what it's going to be like. We can't conceive what God is like. But the Bible says, right now I look through a glass darkly, then I shall know Him face to face. But until that day comes, God wants us to at least to know Him as our Savior. Notice Matthew 7, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. There's the key to that whole passage. I never knew you. There will be so many that will claim, I went to church, I got baptized, I taught Sunday school. Some people here even says they worked miracles and they prophesied in the name of Jesus Christ and they went to hell. Christ will say, I never knew you. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There must be a time in your life where you know that you know Him personally, that you have Him as your Savior. Because if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That's it. Two groups of people in the whole world. It doesn't matter what denomination, what religion, what waters you've been baptized in. Do you have the Son? Do you know Him? If you don't, you need to. If you do, praise God, we need to know Him better. And that's what God finishes with back in our passage in Jeremiah 9. He says, verse 24, knoweth me that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In other words, God wants us to know Him. Personally, but then He wants us to continue to get to know Him better. you would look at 2 Peter 3:18. As Peter was finishing his last epistle, he encouraged, and he's writing to Christians here. He encouraged them to keep growing in their knowledge of the Savior. Notice 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. The last thing Peter wrote before he left this earth. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is God saying here? Glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. And it's all caps there. I mean, that's the Hebrew word Jehovah. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do we know him? That's what God delights in. Do we know him as our creator, as the sustainer, as the judge, as the king, as the holy one, as the just one, as the faithful one, the loving one? We could go on and on. Do we know him? That's what pleases God. Because you know what happens? The better we get to know him, the more we will be like him. Which is ultimately what he's after. That we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to know him. When he met Moses in the burning bush, up to that point, Moses didn't really know him. He knew about God, and he knew about his heritage, but he didn't know who God was. He even asked him, he says, well, who are you? And that's when he said, well, I am. I am the I am. Tell them the I am hath sent you. The self-existent one. The one that's always been. The one that doesn't need any help. Is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. The I am. That's who has sent you. And Moses, of course, he was told to take his shoes off because he was staying on the holy ground. God was trying to help Moses to understand who God was. Because up to that point, he was just kind of a concept to Moses. Now, he's a person, the creator that loved him and was going to use him. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to get to know him better so that we might become more like him. If you would look at Nehemiah chapter 9, when Nehemiah was offering up prayer to God and confessing the sins of the people, because remember, Nehemiah was sent back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and Israel had been under discipline up to that point from God. They were in exile, and God allowed a small contingent of them to come back and start rebuilding the city. And as he was praying aloud, and he was also praying to help the people get to know God better. Notice in Isaiah 9:6, he says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." He was trying to help the people see that God is everything, and he made everything, and that everything is to worship him, and he's worthy of all the glory. And as he was praying, he was trying to get that out there for the people and saying, God is so wonderful and so great and so powerful. And God is telling us in this passage, can't glory in the riches, you can't glory in the might, you can't glory in the wisdom, because man doesn't have any of those things. Glory in understanding and knowing God. Now that's something he says you can glory in because he's worthy of glory. So, do we understand God? And are we, as Jesus said, learning of him? And as Peter said, are we growing in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is that one of our desires? Is to get to know God better? He's given us the tool right here to do it. But we have to work at it. And God says that's something you can glory in. So as Christians, is that one of our passions? To get to know our God better. Maybe you're not a Christian and you'd be honest, say, truth is, I'm not sure I even know God as my personal Savior. Well, the good news is Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and offers you eternal life so that you can. And the Bible says, if you'll come to Him, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God is waiting to save all those that are not saved so that they might know Him personally. And then they'll be able to stand at the judgment and say, I know Jesus Christ. He saved me. And I am joint heirs with Him and so forth. Do you know that's the case in your own life? I hope so. As God said, if you're going to glory in anything, glory in this. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You'll